Good morning. Thanks very much for coming out at this very early morning presentation. In this presentation, we're going to talk about using social media tools for cross-jurisdictional collaboration. Social media is a big buzzword, and so you probably hear a lot about it, but there's always the pushback. Isn't that just getting and playing on Facebook? You know, that's not really very professional, is it? So this here is a case study of a certain website and how the Communications Delivering COP, a group that is made up mostly of Hong coordinators, some of you may be familiar with, has used social networking tools to enhance their collaboration across their jurisdictional boundaries. So a real quick overview of what exactly the website is. PH Connect is located at phconnect.org. And this is a professional networking and collaboration website. And it's intended for public health professionals and those who are working with public health professionals. So we have people from lots of different segments who are touching public health in one way or another. The advantages of using this website are basically it has low cost because it is free for the users. It is available very widely. It's just a standard internet site that you can access through any internet website, any internet service, or even on smartphones. So it's widely available. You don't have to have a special token. You don't have to have a special certificate to get and access it. You don't have to go through a VPN or anything like that. PH Connect does have a moderated membership. Anyone can apply to join, but they do have to be approved. And what this does is it very drastically reduces the amount of trouble that the site has with spam or anything like that. Basically, people have to fill in a form to join, with answer a couple of questions like where they work, what their organization is, what their name is, and if a spammer manages to fool that and get in the first time they post something, they're banned. So there is little to no spam on the site, which helps a lot to maintain a professional atmosphere. People who join PH Connect have a personal profile where they can make connections, join different communities, RSVP for events, and access all of their content. They can also use that as a kind of a bookmark place to keep all their favorites. There's also a series of communities on PH Connect, and each community has its own privacy settings, so it can be a public community or a private one. And they have they have their own forums, their own pages where they can share information with each other. And everybody's communities that they're a member of are also linked from their profile page. So this is convenient for people who are a member of more than one of these communities because they don't have to remember multiple logins and credentials. There are a couple other features site-wide. There's an events calendar, there is an announcement board, and there's a site-wide forum for cross-community collaborations, which has happened from time to time on the site. So how PH Connect came to be. If you were at the Finn conference in 2009, you actually saw the launch of PH Connect. The site was developed jointly by the Public Health Informatics Institute and CDC and was launched in 2009 at the Finn conference. It was initially meant for public health informatics groups and expanded the membership in 2010 for all public health groups. Now, most of the growth on PH Connect is actually word of mouth from people who learned about it at the conference or through a group that they're a member of and then have told their colleagues about it because they felt like it would be useful for them. But as you can see, the word of mouth has actually been pretty effective since the fall of 2009. This is coming up on just 2 years for the site to be in, and you can see that the growth has been very steady. These numbers are through the end of June. We do the compilation quarterly, and there were 2,400 now. There are now currently, I believe, almost 2,600 members on PH Connect, so it continues to grow at a fairly steady rate. You can see the dark blue bars here is the existing membership, and then the light blue at the top is the new members every month. So you can see August 2009 was the first batch of members, and then it grew steadily since then and continues to do so. So what is the breakdown of the membership on PH Connect? Well, the gray area here, these are people who joined the site before we instituted the form that you have to fill in when you join it. So those are the people we don't actually know. But of the rest of them, the largest percentage are U.S. government employees. And you can see the smaller pie chart to the right here, the breakdown between that, of that 46%. 37% are CDC employees, 34% are employees of U.S. state governments, 25% are U.S. local governments, 3% are other U.S. federal agencies besides CDC. We have a number of people from, for instance, the FDA, the EPA, similar groups that touch public health in one way or another. And then there's 1% who are tribal governments in the United States. Looking back at the big pie, we have 9% academic, or 9% nonprofit, sorry, then 8% academic, 7% private sector, 5% is other, and then 2% are non-U.S. governments. And a large number of this comes because the EpiInfo help desk actually is on PH Connect. And so there's a number of people involved in global public health who actually join PH Connect to participate in that community. One of the interesting things that the site traffic has told us about our PH Connect visitors is that they do tend to be very loyal and come back to the site often. This here is a graph of the recency of visits. And what this shows is for visitors who come to PH Connect, when was the most recent previous visit for that visitor? And as you can see, 82% of those visits were within the last day. And then you see another 9% within the last week, 6% within the last month, and then only 3% their most previous visit was more than a month previous. So you can see there's a large number of visitors who actually come to the site every day or almost every day. So looking then at the needs of the communications and alerting community of practice. This is a group that's made up primarily of HON coordinators, and if you're familiar with the system, you'll know in most states there's probably only one HON coordinator. So you have a group of people who their colleagues are spread out among all the jurisdictions, and they don't have a lot of people in their own jurisdiction to talk about their job with. If you're an epidemiologist, there's probably a lot of other epidemiologists nearby that you can talk to. But if you're the HON coordinator, there's just not that support structure built in. So the HON coordinators have formed this community where they're able to reach out to their colleagues across the jurisdictions and work on things together, share knowledge with each other, and form a more cohesive community across the jurisdictional lines. However, the trouble with that is since they are so far away, it's very hard for them to meet in person. They only get to do it infrequently. A lot of times, the meeting at the FIN conference, I believe they had a meeting on Sunday. But in between those times, how are they going to connect and keep in touch with each other? They do have an online mailing list, and they had a monthly call that they participate in, but they did have some additional needs. They wanted a home on the internet that belonged to the community. They needed a place where they could have informal information sharing in between their calls. They wanted a place where they could work on documents together, and a place where they could keep those documents for publication once they were done. So here is the community that the CACOP made on PH Connect. This is a screenshot. You can see they have the description of their community, some information about other resources the community has, a listing of the members, and then they also have a forum and some other, a comment wall, some other things here. So this gave them a place that belonged to them. They could update it. They didn't have to wait for someone else to update their web page. They could do it themselves whenever they wanted. And they could easily point new members to this place. Here you can see the informal information sharing I talked about. The CACOP likes to chat on their comment wall. Some other communities on PH Connect like to use their threaded discussion forum. It's really a matter of preference. So you can see here different members sharing information with each other, resources that they've come up with, information about things they're doing in their states, and they can just post this whenever it's convenient for them, and everyone else can read it when it's convenient for them, which is one of the glories of asynchronous communication. Another thing that they use their site for is document development. PH Connect does allow communities to embed widgets and embedded frames of other services into their space. So for several things that the community has wanted to develop together, they have actually developed a wiki or a collaborative document editing widget in their page and worked on things together. Here's an example of one of these documents, which is an inventory of the different HAN systems that the different states were using in 2010, which is a useful thing for this group to have because they like to know who's using the same systems. If somebody's having a problem, they know which of their colleagues they can maybe call and get some information from, some advice from. And it really helps to improve interoperability because they can just see who's got what at a glance and keep it updated themselves. So once they're done developing these documents, they have a repository on the site where they can store it. And they have a system here. You can see the name, the description, what type of the document it is, and then they have a system for who wrote it and when it was posted and what the version is. So they can keep these things fresh and keep them available whenever someone new comes in. They can come and see the history and download these resources quickly and easily. So that's a rapid overview of what they had and how they've used it. So are there any questions? Yes. Okay. The question was, how does the community tell when it's time to take a working document and put it in the repository? And the process that the community has used is they will have it up for some time and discuss it on their monthly calls and then work on it in between. And then the people who have been working on it will report back in the call what the process has been. And then once they feel like it's done, they'll leave it up for some amount of time for people to read and comment on. And then in their meeting, they'll say, okay, now it's closed, and then they'll move it into the repository. Okay? Anyone else? Early in the morning? All right. Thank you very much.